We're back with Marco on Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 FM.
Good afternoon. This is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9. Well, it's pretty exciting times for those people in the Cassini mission. As everybody probably knows, Cassini is the mission that is in the Saturn system. It's been there for about 8 years, and it's going to do its final dive. So on the NASA website, dated April 13th, there is an illustration, and the name of the caption is Illustration of Cassini spacecraft diving through plume of ocean world Enceladus. Well, pretty soon, Cassini is going to go on its final dive. It's going to dive in between the rings of Saturn and Saturn itself. And it's going to, I guess we can say, crash, but it'll probably burn up in the atmosphere because it's a liquid surface on Saturn. It's a gas, not a liquid. And it's running out of fuel, so it's on its last grand dive. It's going to dive through the rings, and they're going to do some tests on it. Now, there's an illustration of Cassini spacecraft diving through the plume of ocean world Enceladus. The caption reads, "This illustration shows NASA's Cassini spacecraft diving through the plumes of Saturn's moon Enceladus in 2015. Two veteran NASA missions are providing new details about icy ocean-bearing moons of Jupiter and Saturn, further heightening the scientific interest of these and other ocean worlds in our solar system and beyond. The findings are presented in a paper published Thursday, April 13th. And if you go to the website, www.nasa.gov, the article is under the title of Enceladus. That's E-N-C-E-L-A-D-U-S. It's a watery, icy moon of Saturn, and it sometimes has geysers in its, I believe, North Pole, but it could be South Pole. It's one of the two. So water squirts out, so there's a subsurface ocean on Enceladus. And I have emailed Trina Ray. She is in charge of that mission. As you may recall, we had Trina on. I phoned her, and we had a great conversation, and she used to work on the Voyager missions, and now she's, for about 10 years, she's been working on Cassini. So we will keep you updated on the Cassini mission. Now, let's go to Mars. MRO, what does MRO stands for? Well, MRO stands for Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. It's a NASA vehicle or NASA satellite. It's orbiting Mars. And on an article dated April 12, 2017, it talks about a Mesa in Noctis Labyrinthus. Well, there's all these protocols for naming craters and even naming planetary systems and planets and their moons. Some are named after Roman gods or goddesses, and others are named after Shakespeare actors or Shakespeare characters. Now, Noctis Labyrinthus, that sounds Latin, so I'll read about this. This image from NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, or MRO, shows a small, which is 0.4 kilometer, mesa, one of several surrounded by sand dunes in Noctis Labyrinthus, an extensively fractured region on the western ends of Valles Marineris, heavily eroded with clusters of boulders and sand dunes on the surface. This layered mesa is probably comprised of sedimentary deposits that are being exhumed as it erodes. The layers themselves are visible as faint bands along the lower left edge of the mesa. I guess mesa is a Spanish word. Maybe it means a plateau. So they're talking about a plateau. The map is projected here at a scale of 50 centimeters per pixel. Objects on the order of 150 centimeters across are resolved. North is up. The University of Tucson operates high-rise. And high-rise, I guess it's the camera. It doesn't tell what it is. But there's all kinds of orbiters and rovers on Mars. Let's read another article about Mars. Let's make this a Mars show. This is called South Polar Spiral. It's dated April 7th, 2017, and it's on NASA.gov. It shows some kind of bump or hump. So the image is taken from atop, so it's looking down on it. I'm going to read the article now. This hill in the South Polar Layer deposits has influenced the erosion of the icy layers as seen by NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. The hill protects the layer from erosion, so the pattern of erosion to the sides of the hills form a beautiful spiral pattern. Well, I don't see the spiral pattern. The University of Tucson, Arizona operates high-rise. So I got to find out what is high-rise. During the break, I will, okay? Now, another article on Mars. It's dated April 6th on www.nasa.gov, and it reads, a new impact site in the southern middle latitudes. And it shows an impact site, so I'm going to read it now. Over 500 new impact events have been detected. Before and after images from NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, mostly from MRO's context camera with a high-rise follow-up. Those new craters that expose shallow ice are of special interest, especially at latitudes which were not previously detected to better map the ice distribution. Well, guess what I'm going to do? It's gotten my interest, so I'm going to look up what is high-rise. I'm going to look up high-rise Mars. There we go. High-rise is the high-resolution imaging science experiment. So I guess it's a camera. High-resolution imaging science experiment is a camera on board the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. And there's a picture here that shows high-rise before it was shipped. The main body of high-rise is as big as maybe Yao Ming. It's quite big, actually. The 65-kilogram, 143-pound, $40 million U.S. instrument was built under the direction of the University of Arizona's Lunar and Planetary Laboratory by Bell Aerospace and Technology. It consists of a 0.5-meter or 19.7-inch aperture reflecting telescope, the largest so far of any deep space mission, which allows it to take pictures of Mars with resolutions of 0.3 meters per pixel, resolving objects below a meter across. So it's called high-rise, which is high-resolution imaging science experiment. So now I know what high-rise is. And guess what? High-rise has its own website. So if you want to go to it, you can look at it. And it's high-rise, HIRISE .LPL.Arizona.edu. I'll read that again in case anyone is listening. HIRISE.LPL.Arizona.edu. And I did mention before I was going to look up citizen scientist projects. As people may know, some may be involved, NASA has a budgetary limit. I guess a lot of CITR has a budgetary limit. So what happens on some of their projects where they have 2, 3, 4, or 5 scientists, they're doing a lot of the science work, they're experimenting, and then they take thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures. Now, they don't have the time to go through these pictures, so they set up a website where people can go to the website and they can sign up and they can download these pictures. And what they do is they either process them or they scan them, they search through them to find material that NASA needs. So I'll look up that, and because I was looking at one of my websites the other day, and I will give that to you, I promise, next show. Okay, now this is still about the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter with the high-rise imager. And again, high-rise is high-resolution imaging science experiment. Okay, now I'm going to do another article on Mars, and it's dated April 10th. It's under release 17-12, and its title is NASA's MAVEN reveals Mars has metal in its atmosphere. Now we know what high-rise is, but what is Maven? Let's see. I'll try to look for it. It doesn't say. Oh, yeah, here it is. Mars atmosphere and volatile evolution mission. Maven. Well, the last word is M, and the initial is N. So anyway, it shows an artist's conception of Maven spacecraft and the limb of Mars, whatever that means. Now I'm going to read the article. Mars has electrically charged metal atoms, ions, high in its atmosphere, according to new results from NASA's Maven spacecraft. The metal ions can reveal previously invisible activity in the mysterious electrically charged upper atmosphere or ionosphere of Mars. It makes sense. If there's ions, it would be called an ionosphere. Makes sense, doesn't it? So says Joseph Grabowski of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. Oh, if a person wants to work in aerospace or with NASA, go to America. They have so many. Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland is just one of them. They have so many projects with universities and aerospace centers, astronomical research centers. I would love to work down there. Okay, so says Joseph Grabowski of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. And quote, Maven has made the first detection, Maven has made the first direct detection. I'll read that again. Maven has made the first direct detection of the permanent presence of metal ions in the ionosphere of a planet other than Earth, said Joseph Grabowski of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. Another quote, because metallic ions have long lifetimes and are transported far from the region of origin by neutral winds and electric fields, they can be used to infer motion in the ionosphere, similar to the way we use a lofted leaf to reveal which way the wind is blowing. Grabowski is lead author of a paper on this research, appear in April 9th in the Geophysical Research Letters. And again, I try to find that geophysical. Oh, here it is. The name of the article is Unique Non-Earth-like Meteoric Ion Behavior in the Atmosphere of Mars. And it's got a long web title, so I won't read it. But if you go to the NASA website and look under NASA's Maven reveals Mars has metal in its atmosphere, it is in the second paragraph. And there's also a link to the NASA's Maven spacecraft. So let's see what that's all about. Maven is, it just goes back to a NASA page, so I'm not going to look through that. Okay, Maven, which stands for Mars Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution Mission, is exploring the Martian upper atmosphere to understand how the planet lost most of its air, transforming from a world that could have supported life billions of years ago into a cold, deserted planet today. Where am I? Sorry, there we go. Understanding ionospheric activity is shedding light on how the Martian atmosphere is being lost to space, according to this team. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for a break. And when I come back, we'll read more about Mars. This is Marco. You listen to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9.
All right, I'm gonna do it wrong. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Does this make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we. You're not even gonna last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France. Montreal? What the f***? It's a script. I couldn't even... What? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival. Fountain's just back from France. What are you even saying here?
Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that, because even a fucking elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR Production Department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
In your chinchilla fur, I was laid up in the cool back shade, looking at your face just pure with no makeup. A little bit of MAC lip gloss, hair in a bun, well done. Looking for a ring, I seen none, so I hopped out the coupe and hot the suit to stop and introduce like I'm shining. You my destiny, in your diamond cluster, too much just to touch you. Perfume down to your structure, think I wait.
This is Robin, the program manager at CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco, the best astronomy program on the planet.
Put it in your purse and call.
On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. My Rolls Royce is not for ladies. Then I'm gonna take you in my Mercedes. My Mercedes will get full up of the disease. And then I'm gonna take you in my Firebird.
My player days is over. Well, maybe not completely, but still in all. Come here, rest your head on my bed. And let me get between your legs. Lay on your back, take it from the back. Like a bag you're supposed to.
Hello, like welcome that? Back. This is Marco on CITR 101.9 in AstroTalk. So, we're talking about our friendly planet Mars. So let me go back to the article. I was jumping around a bit there during the break. Here we are. We're back in the article, and the article is stated or titled NASA's MAVEN reveals Mars has metal in its atmosphere. So I guess they all knew that. They just have to have reconfirmation. And the article is dated April 10th, 2017. I'm going to go down to the fourth paragraph because we finished the first three. So I'm going to start reading the fourth paragraph. The metal comes from a constant rain of tiny meteoroids onto the red planet. Now, what's a meteoroid? Well, I think when it's it could be called a meteoroid, a meteorite, or a meteor, and that depends on where it is on its travel. So, for example, if it lands on the Earth, it's called probably, I don't know, but there's a different designation when it's in Earth atmosphere, when it's in outer space, and when it finally hits Earth. So, oh yeah, there was a meteorite size of 6 football field seen in California the other day. I don't know if you saw that on the news. But anyway, someone was taking a picture for Facebook, and it scared her because all of a sudden this bright flash in the sky, and what it showed, a giant meteor. So I just said meteorite. So it could be meteorite, could be meteoroid. So one of the three. So one of them, I think, when it lands on the Earth, is called meteor. And when it's in the air in Earth atmosphere, it's called something either meteorite or meteoroid. And when it's in outer space, it's either called a meteorite or I don't know. I'll find that out. Okay. The metal comes from a constant rain of tiny meteoroids onto the red planet. When a high-speed meteoroid hits the Martian atmosphere, it vaporizes. Metal atoms in the vapor trail get some of their electrons torn away by other charged atoms and molecules in the ionosphere, transforming the metal atoms into electrically charged ions. MAVEN has detected iron, magnesium, and sodium ion in the upper atmosphere of Mars over the last 2 years using its neutral gas and ion mass spectrometer instrument, giving the team confidence that the metal ions are a permanent feature. So says Professor Joseph Grabowski of NASA Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. And, quote, we detected metal ions associated with the close passage of comet sighting spring in 2014, but that was a unique event and it didn't tell us about the long-term presence of the ions, said Grabowski. End quote. The interplanetary dust that causes the meteor showers is common throughout our solar system, so it's likely that all solar system planets and moons with substantial atmosphere have metal ions, according to the team. Good. Okay. The interplay dust that causes the meteor. Oh, sorry. I just read that. Surrounding rockets, radar, and satellite measurements have detected metal iron layers high in the atmosphere above Earth. There's also been indirect evidence for metal ions above other planets in our solar system. When spacecraft are exploring these worlds from orbit, sometimes the radio signals pass through the planet's atmosphere on the way to Earth, and sometimes portions of the signal have been blocked. This has been interpreted as interference interference from electrons in the ionosphere, some of which are thought to be associated with metal ions. However, long-term direct detection of the metal ions by MAVEN is the first conclusive evidence that these ions on another planet and that they are a permanent feature there. Oh, sorry, that these ions exist on another planet and they are a permanent feature there. The team found that the metal ions behave differently on Mars than on Earth. Earth is surrounded by a global magnetic field generated in its interior. So it's called a it'll come back. And this magnetic field, together with ionospheric winds, forces the metal into layers. However, Mars has only local magnetic fields fossilized in certain regions of its crust, and the team only saw the layers near these surfaces, said Grabowski. And quote, elsewhere, the metal ion distributions are totally unlike those observed at Earth. And the word I was looking for, it's magnetosphere. That is the magnetic field that surrounds Earth. It's generated inside the Earth's core, and it protects Earth from all these poisonous or dangerous ions from outer space and the solar wind. The research has other applications as well. For example, it is unclear if the metal ions can affect the formation or behavior of high-altitude clouds. Also, detailed understanding of the meteoritic ions in the totally different Earth and Mars environments will be useful for better predicting consequences of interplanetary dust impacts in other yet unexplored solar system atmosphere. Observing metal ions on another planet gives us something to compare and contrast with Earth to understand the ionospheric and atmospheric chemistry better. And so said Grabowski. Well, thank you for tuning in. There is going to be something exciting that I'm doing that'll come out soon. I've said this before, but I hired GoDaddy, and they are doing a website for me. So I'm going to have all my podcasts, and DP and I are going to be putting a lot of different shows in there. Hi, DP. So we're going to be doing a lot of interesting things on my website. So stay tuned for it, and that will be coming quite soon. So thank you for listening. This is Marco. You've been listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.1. Goodbye.